to the Huntley Baptist Church podcast. We hope that this message can be an encouragement to you today. Please feel free to contact us at huntleybaptist@extra.co.nz or visit us at huntleybaptist.com.
Ephesians 4:12. We're in Ephesians 4 today. Ephesians 4:12 says, "For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ." Hey, we spoke about wisdom last week, and I believe my dad was quite wise when he said to me one day, "Don't tear down, son, build up. Don't tear down, build up." And I took that on board, and I'm not saying that we should never clear the way for some living. In Christ, we should be generally solution-centered rather than problem-centered. Glass half full rather than glass half empty. Being thankful for what we've got rather than pining for what we haven't got. Rather than looking for faults, we should be encouraging one another, encouraging things to grow. And it's way harder to build, isn't it, than to tear down. It's easy to tear down in a sense. It's much harder to build. And as a nation, we've always had this pioneer spirit to give it a go and to build something. I just fear that the internet and social media, along with, you know, constant knocking of leaders and visionaries, is causing harm both spiritually and socially and physically to our nation. I once had a couple of youth come to me and proudly tell me that day they had stopped the Huntley College prayer meeting at the school. It was started by a couple of guys, sold out for Jesus, and I think it might have been your brother, Bronwyn, and one of them, and that had been going for over 10 years. And I remember thinking, hey, well, it takes faith to start something, and it takes faith to keep something going, but to stop something, not so much. Yeah. Hey, and I get it. There is a season for everything. There is a season for everything. And who knows, it may be resurrected one day. So today, I hope we all take on board Paul's advice to the Ephesians to grow up and to build up the body of Christ, using our individual and unique gifts and talents. So I've simply called this message, Grow Up, Build Up. Nice and simple. Grow up, build up. Let's turn to Scripture then, and we're just going to read verse 11 to 16. Let's turn. Verse 11. "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man or woman, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted together and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Wonderful scripture. And it's, as I said last week, Ephesians is a book of two halves, really. We're into the practical outworking. Chapters 4 to 6 are really more hands-on, practical teaching for daily living. It's the outworking of that wonderful salvation and inheritance we read about in earlier chapters, that Jesus paid for in full with his blood. So here in chapter 4, Paul speaks about unity and maturity in the body of Christ as the theme of this chapter. But as I was getting this ready and as I was praying over it and reading it through many times, one phrase just seemed to jump out above all the others: to the building up of the body of Christ, hence today's title. But before we dive in and unpack this chapter and how we're to build up, how we actually put legs to that, we're going to actually go back to the Old Testament, to an Old Testament character. I really admire this guy for his courage, endurance, and ability to keep going against all odds. His name is Jeremiah, and he spoke God's word for over 40 years to a very indifferent and sometimes violent crowd. He outlasted three or four kings, and he suffered much persecution. This guy was a legend. Studied it some years ago by Distance Bible College. And for years, his message was basically, turn back to God or be removed from your land. That was where he began. That was his starting message. Turn back to God or just watch out, you'll be removed from your land. But his message changed. God directed him to change his message when they hardened their hearts, and his second message was, it's too late for change now, just get used to being strangers and aliens in another land. Whoa. Well, this was seen as treason, and he was treated as a traitor, and he was even thrown down a well. And in the end, after the enemies had come in, he ended up living, serving, and dying among peasants who were left behind in Israel when everything he said would happen, happened. He was a man of God. He had the voice of the Lord when all the false prophets were saying otherwise, pacifying, keeping everybody happy. He confronted that smugness of the kings, the priests, and the leaders of Israel who were, they were just living under the promise to David to always have a descendant on the throne of Judah. They had this kind of like insurance package. Oh, look, it's okay. We're always going to have a king on the throne of Judah. And let's just party up. So they partied hard. They served other gods. And they practiced all kinds of evil things, thinking they were untouchable by other nations. But their false security, you know, due to this lack of true worship and ignorance, really, of God's words and plans, led them to a hardness of hearts, to a hard place in their heart. And Jeremiah was the lone voice that reminded them that the promises of God came with the condition of keeping their side of the covenant. See, they had made, or their ancestors had made, a covenant with Moses hundreds of years before, and they were breaking them left, right, and center, thinking, yay, we've got this king on the throne forever. And they didn't listen to Jeremiah. He was like a lone voice. And they were just not even keeping God's ways and obeying his laws in a small way. It was big, gross sin. Their failure to listen to Jeremiah and to repent led to their captivity. Their land was left in ruins. The temple was destroyed, and they were removed to Babylon for 70 years. That's just a little bit of a history. Why have I told this story? I've told this story because I wonder if we too can get a bit complacent with our salvation. There is no doubt God's promises are yes and amen to those who believe and who live by faith. If that's you and if that's me, we have every promise that God's ever given. But we sometimes think it's enough just to believe. And then we kind of neglect the very things that will help us to live by faith. So we need Paul's practical advice today, I believe, to keep faith alive, to build and to grow in Christ. It's a daily discipline, really, to spend time with him, to hear his voice, and to obey his promptings. So rather than give a fancy list of how-tos to build up the body of Christ, which is the church, Paul crafts the scripture in such a way that he doesn't so much give us a way to build, but a who to build. I'll explain in a minute. Verse 13, Paul gives us the end goal to this challenging task of building up the body of Christ. He says the end goal is unity and maturity. That's the end goal. It's not how, it's what you get when you do the building up. The fruit of that comes in verse 14. If you've got your Bibles, you can look at it. I.e., we don't just fall for anything. We become a bit more wise. We become a bit more mature. We don't fall for any scam that's going. We're not easily shaken. We're not tossed about like a small little boat in big rough seas. In other words, we gain discernment and wisdom in spiritual matters by hanging out with Jesus front and center. That's the fruit of doing what Paul says. This is what he was really saying. It's a who, not a how. Jesus is the who. He's our why and he's our how to. So when we as believers build up Jesus and make him bigger and us smaller, by the byproduct is really unity and maturity when we get together. If we've been doing that on our own, putting Jesus first, we're built up. And when we get together, there's unity and maturity. You know, we could hooey all day and come away no closer. But when we make Jesus number one, we gain unity and maturity in the process. And we need to lay down our, you know, maybe 17 reasons why our theology, our ecclesiology and our eschatology are correct. We need to put all that away and focus on Jesus as Lord and make him our. In his love, it's his love that covers us and heals our differences. Jeremy spoke about differences a few weeks back. In verse 17, when every part functions in its gifting and is willing to consider others while supplying nourishment to the whole, it all works as it should. See, the church is a beautiful thing when it works. Even though it's full of broken sinners, love is the glue. Love is the oil, and love brings restoration. But there's a but. There's always a but. According to verse 14, you know, in a perfect world, we'd just all be building quickly and together and seamlessly. Everyone would be informed, focused, willing, mature, flexible, selfless, team-driven, and keen to get the job done. That's the dream, isn't it? That's the dream, isn't it? Wow. But don't join that church because you probably wouldn't make it so perfect. But we know it's not a perfect world. We know it's not a perfect world. And just a little story. For a short time, I managed a trucking business to help out as a temporary manager. I learned a lot of new words that I can't repeat here. And every morning, there would be this kind of satisfying but temporary peace once all the trucks left the yard. And everyone was gone on their way. But oh, the dramas convincing them first to swap trucks or swap trailers, let alone a complete change of plan for the day. I couldn't believe the immaturity and the pettiness amongst hardened truck drivers. Hey, the church is not exempt from hurt and differences, are we? However, when believers have died to self, correction shouldn't be an issue. Amen? And we're all able to be corrected. Unity is possible this side of eternity when Jesus is truly Lord. See, unity is not sameness. Don't have to be all the same. We can be diverse, yet unified around a vision. Jesus is our vision. We sing that song, don't we? Be thou my vision. Jesus is our vision. And the but, this but that I mentioned in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, Paul says. So this but that I mentioned, we can only learn with the Holy Spirit's help. Paul says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all respects into him who is the head. See, unity can be threatened when truth is spoken, but when done in love, it is stronger for it in the end. Troubles arise, though, when the spirit behind the words is not coming from a place of genuine love. See, we can be right, but be wrong in the same breath. If our spirit is wrong and we're correcting someone, trying to make it sound loving, they're not going to get it. They're going to get the opposite. So we do risk hurt when we are honest, even when done in love. But it's then up to the recipient, the receiver, to embrace wise counsel and collective wisdom with a spirit of humility. You see, unity can be achieved this side of eternity, but we need to work at it together. Again, Jesus is our who, our why, and our how to. He is ultimately the one who is challenging us to grow up in him. We can encourage one another, but it's Jesus who ultimately wants us to grow up in him. Get a bit thicker skinned. Get a little bit weathered and hardened to criticism. When he's front and center, truth spoken in love always wins through. I'll say that again. When he's front and center, truth spoken in love always wins through. So we grow up as we build up, and we build up as we grow up, if Jesus is our vision. Paul sums it up so beautifully with the words, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You might say we'll never get to that, but let's try. We are going to need some help, though. Just like Bradley says on The Chase, we're going to need some pushbacks. I purposefully left out verses 11 and 12. And verses 11 and 12 say that he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So we need to remind ourselves that these callings, we need them, and they're gifts from God. They're gifts of God for the church, for the equipping of the saints. We need the prophets, we need the apostles, we need the evangelists, we need pastors and teachers to help us in this work, in the equipping of our saints for the work of service, to build up, not down. So as pastors, we have one job. We just have one job, to equip the saints. That's it. But it can take a lifetime to do that. We're never done. I sometimes tell people I work with people, machinery, and animals. What could possibly go wrong? But are we willing? Are we willing to be equipped? That's my second challenge for today. The first challenge was, do we value our salvation? Second challenge is, are we willing to be equipped? We're going to land this soon. I know we've got no tech today. It's hard to build if you're not equipped. It's hard to be a builder if you don't know what you're doing. Got no tool belt, got no tools, no knowledge. If you're not a bit hardened up for the challenge ahead, or if you're going it alone, it's really tough to build. Those are just some of the things against us. Back to Jeremiah. As part of his calling, in Jeremiah 1, the Lord assures him of his readiness. He answers his questions and destroys all his reasons not to obey. That's your homework. Read Jeremiah 1. Does that all sound a bit familiar for us as well? We double guess ourselves. We doubt ourselves. But what better assurance could we get than the Lord himself? What's almost as powerful as that, those soothing words from the Lord to Jeremiah, was the words he gave him in verse 10. In verse 10, the Lord says, I have appointed you to pluck up and break down. I believe that's bad attitudes, pride, fear, and an independent spirit. Those are the things he needed to pluck out of his life and overthrow. These are the spiritual strongholds, enemy tactics, and powerful opposition that he was going to face. He needed to learn to destroy and overthrow them. And then he says, to build and to plant. See, there's a little bit of an order here. That's the God of the Holy Spirit in building up the kingdom of God. Rush out there, Christ. We can't have bad attitudes and stuff and deal with those. We need to pray off the spiritual opposition, then build, 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 and sow. Unified under Christ. So just lock in Jeremiah 1:10 in your mind. Jeremiah 1:10 as a weapon against the enemy of our soul. Take it on board. Lock it in. Use it. Before we rush headlong into battle, we need to do a personal audit on our heart, then pray into the spiritual climate around us, praying off doubt, opposition, and finally build and sow, in season and out. You know, I often wondered why Jesus cursed the fig tree when it was season for figs. I think what he's saying is in season and out. People are supposed to look at us on our worst day and see some fruit. It just creeps up. Old is inevitable. Trust me. It just is a choice. But growing up, old without growing up. I'll say it again. Growing old is inevitable, but growing up is a choice you can choose today. Building up is a matter of priorities. Is your ladder of success leaning against the wrong wall? So my first challenge was, have you got complacent about salvation? My second one was, are you willing to be equipped? And the third one, this final challenge is, to some people here, let's get busy. And for other people in this room, stick to it, saints. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word that's crafted to bring us a truth. It's just truth on every page. And Lord Jesus, you personify truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Father, we just want to take on board this message today to grow up and to grow up to build your church. And Lord, I pray we'd overcome maybe things in lives here in this room that are like an anchor, Lord, holding back that growth. Lord, we know life's tricky. We know there's so many things against us. We know there's obstacles and distractions and temptations. Lord, we just pray them off our church and we pray we'd focus on the building up of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Huntley Baptist Church podcast. We hope that it has been an encouragement to you. Please feel free to contact us at huntleybaptist@extra.co.nz or visit us at huntleybaptist.com.